Today is a day for truth.
Black and blue, God versus man, day versus night.
Four Midwest guys.
I've been excited before, just because Ben Affleck got picked to do Batman. I'm curious to see how he does.
The Stormtroopers used to be bad at shooting, and now they're not. You know, something like that.
Like the CG of Jurassic Park versus the CG of Lost World, because
blah, 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 blah.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
My whole life has led to this moment. I'm in heaven.
And welcome back to the flagship show. Welcome back to Ford Midwest Guys, the premium show. We've been doing a lot of specials again, a lot of one-offs, and a new series, Gotham Watch, is out there. But we're back here with Ford Midwest Guys, plus Maggie tonight. So I'll get right into introductions. First we have, we got Birchie with us, and Brian B. with his lovely wife, Susie Q, a.k.a. Maggie. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Very good, very good. And also with us is John Z, or better known as the Dirty Jay-Z.
Hello, hello, hello.
And last but definitely not least with us is Ankenbauer. Ankenbauer, how's it going, man?
It's going good. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, man. Can't complain. Been a little under the weather, had a little trip to the ER, but all things are good now. You might hear me cough and some other unlovely stuff tonight, but I'll do my best to minimize that. So, but we'll just get right into. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Sex for that.
Well, luckily it was.
Did he just say have sex for that?
No, he said gas X.
Gas X.
Oh.
Although that would be one hell of a cure. Okay, so we got a pretty full show tonight for you. So we're going to go right into it tonight. Brian and Maggie, Maggie's with us tonight because they took a trip a couple weeks ago up to Indianapolis, and they went to the Horror Hound Convention. Is that what it's called, guys? Am I correct?
Well, it's actually based off of Horror Hound Weekend. Horror Hound is a magazine that's published by Sam Haim Publishing Company. And they've done this now for a couple of years. And interestingly enough, I found out while we were in Indianapolis, it was actually the weekend of our anniversary, September 11th through the 13th. And come to find out, they've done it for a couple of years now. And they do a convention in the springtime as well as the fall. The spring convention is held at Sharonville Convention Center, usually the third weekend of March, and then the fall convention is held in Indianapolis, usually the second or third week in September.
For those of you who are listening and have no idea what Sharonville Convention Center is, that's like outside of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Thank you, Maggie. I was about to do that. Well done.
Also, so, to answer your question, B. Willie, yes, it is Whorehound.
Whorehound. Copy. Excuse me. Excuse me. Sorry about that. So, what exactly? So you were there? What, 2 days? 3 days? What was it again exactly?
Usually held Friday through Sunday, and we went Saturday night and or Saturday during the day, and then Sunday during the day as well. So we drove up Friday night.
Yeah, you periscope from there, right?
What's that?
I said you periscope from there, right?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, this was a big draw, especially for Meg, because she's a big fan of Nightmare on Elm Street, and they had pretty much a homecoming reunion for the entire cast, and it was kind of bittersweet because of the passing recently of Wes Craven. But they did have a lot of the cast from. A lot of the movies there, so it was kind of a homecoming for the entire cast from pretty much all of the movies.
So was that the first panel you did, or was there other – kind of give us like the chronological order if you can remember.
Well, we got there so – we drove up Saturday morning, and the first panel we sat in on was actually what's-his-face played from
– Robert Englund?
No, it wasn't Robert Englund. They did do a tribute to Wes Craven where they had Robert Englund and Heather Langenkamp. They mm-hmm. had Wes Craven's ex-wife was there. Mm-hmm. The woman who played Nancy's mom. Amanda Weiss. Mm-hmm. And they all did this really cool tribute where they all talked about Wes Craven and what kind of person he was and all this stuff. And then they did, have you guys ever heard of the owl, the night owl? Like it was like Fritz the Night Owl.
No.
Night Owl Massacre from LA Confidential. That's about it.
Well, it's like, okay, so we grew up with the Crypt Keeper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the old school, really late.
Yeah, Tales from the Dark Side. Yeah.
Like okay. Tales from the Dark Side and stuff like that. But where they had the actual people who talked about the shows, like Elvira and Fritz the Night Owl, and they would introduce, like, horror movies. Mm-hmm. And they would do shows at night, like late at night. So, I mean, come on, we're all the same age here.
Now, did they have Joe Bob Briggs? That's all I want to know.
They did not have Joe Bob Briggs. I'm sorry. Yeah. But anyway, Fritz the Night Owl, which I believe is from Columbus or Cleveland,
one of
those. Columbus or Cleveland, actually put together a cute little thing for Wes Craven and for Nightmare on Elm Street, and they previewed the movie. The first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. So we went and we watched the first few minutes of the movie, and then we ended up in, I can't remember his name, you guys are all going to kill me, but the guy who played in Aliens.
Oh, Lance Henriksen.
Lance Henriksen's. Yeah.
They had Lance Henriksen. So we wound up, after we did, we sat in about 20 minutes on the movie, we decided we better go get our picture with Robert Englund because there was a huge line for it. There will be a little bit of a story that I'll correlate to you guys here in a little bit. So we had an option of doing a couple of different photos, but we thought it would be best to go ahead and get that done sooner than later because of the immense... I mean, the tickets for the weekend were sold out, and I almost didn't get tickets for the weekend. It was kind of a funny story. I'll make this real quick, but... I was going to get tickets, and the night that I was buying tickets, they actually, in the middle of my process of buying tickets, shut the website down, and I was kind of left without any tickets at all and started scrambling to try to find tickets for the weekend because the Saturday portion of the show was sold out. They only had tickets available for Friday and Sunday. So I started doing... out online, started doing searches on Craigslist and found a guy who was selling two tickets for the entire weekend who was out of Cleveland. And I sent him a text message, and we kind of went back and forth for about an hour text message wise. And he said, I'll sell you the tickets for $65 PayPal. If you have $65, I will send you tickets right now. So I was like, okay, let's go ahead and do this. So I was kind of iffy about it. I had $65 in my PayPal account. Sent him a text through his email and everything, and 10 minutes later the tickets came back, and I was so happy because I was like, it could have been a bad situation.
He's lucky.
It sounds like, it worked out for you there.
It did.
So the Wes Craven panel, the guy from Aliens, what did he play in Aliens, by the way? I couldn't
even tell. Bishop. Yeah.
He's the android. Okay.
Exactly.
And he's a really cool guy.
Oh, yeah? How so? Did you get to meet him? Or?
Well, no. We just got to sit in on his panel.
We sat on his panel.
And he was just fun. He was fun to talk to, fun to listen to. He had all kinds of fun stories about working on the set of Aliens.
Oh, I can only imagine there. That would be
Yeah, it was a good weekend. I mean, they had a lot of different actors and actresses there. And if you haven't been to Horror Hound, it's basically you have, for lack of a better term, it's a convention. They hold it at the Marriott in Indianapolis, Marriott East, and you have a couple of different ballrooms there. So in one ballroom, they have all of your celebrities that are signing autographs. Then in another ballroom, they have a lot of different vendors from around the country who come in and sell specific things that are correlated to horror, regardless if it's makeup or if it's regardless to, things that would go into making Halloween-related things. I guess
oh, speaking of makeup, I hate to interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead.
But it was actually sponsored by Mask Fest this year, Samhain and Mask Fest. So it was really, really cool. They had a ballroom that was strictly just makeup artists. And you could walk through and look at all their different art and everything. And they had three people from season four from Face Off there. Anthony, and there were two other people that were there from Face Off. They also had the judges from Face Off. We got to get our pictures taken with the judges from Face Off, which my eight-year-old son, Jack, was so, like, enthralled he couldn't hardly stand himself. But it was really cool because they had this whole ballroom set up to just for just prosthetics and makeup and all kinds of really cool stuff for, like, the horror genre. I mean, not just the horror genre, but and I was in freaking heaven.
I bet.
They had Tom Savini there.
Yeah, Tom Savini was there.
He's if you know anything about makeup or anything correlated to that, he's I would say he's very much on the equivalent with Rick Baker in regards to doing makeup for horror movies.
And I don't know if you guys watch any of those other than Face Off, but there's is it called Monster Makeup or the Monster Man?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Monster Man does. He was there with his wife, and they had a booth. And I don't know.
So could you pay to have your face done or not?
No,
or was
no.
it just it was more of a meet and greet?
It was more of a meet and greet, and you could purchase the stuff. Like if you were looking for anything that you could possibly use to have make for a makeup artist, you could purchase at this venue. But no, they weren't doing anybody up. There were lots of people dressed out. But they weren't doing anything like that in the makeup room.
So like a Comic-Con for horror.
Pretty much,
That's exactly what it is.
Exactly
it's a Comic-Con for horror.
So it's like anything that you can think of that is correlated to horror, you'd be able to find there.
So what did you guys learn, I mean, from the entire experience? I mean, was there things you didn't know, like sitting in on the panels? What was some of the cool, I guess, what was, if you could think of one story maybe that they shared, that you guys remember anything, any chance?
The one thing that really stuck out for me was, and I wish I could remember her name, it was Wes Craven's wife. And she was just an awesome person just to talk to. But she was talking about the different stories that he had written and his writing. And one of the stories that he was writing back and forth, he was working on A Nightmare on Elm Street. And at the same time, he was working on another script called Hansel and Gretel. And it's never seen the light of day. It never will see the light of day because nobody has any clue where it is. But at the end of the day, right before they would go to bed, Wes would bring the scripts to his wife. And he would be like, okay, I need you to read these. Well, she would read through A Nightmare on Elm Street. And it was pretty simple, straightforward. Well, I would change this, or I would do that, or I wouldn't do this, or whatever. And not a whole lot of critiquing on that one. And it was pretty perfect the way it was. But then he would bring her his Hansel and Gretel script. And she said that every time, no matter what he did, she read that. She was just in awe. Like, it was just the most amazing, weird, back-ass word, perfect script and story. And it was really funny because A Nightmare got done and Hansel and Gretel didn't. And it's like, what would horror be today if Wes Craven had done his Hansel and Gretel versus The Nightmare? Because A Nightmare was really the start for Wes Craven as far as becoming as popular as he is. I mean, he had done some stuff prior, but he was a no-name until Nightmare. And just like James Cameron was afraid that, you know, he's basically the same way. And actually,
Francis Crepson.
No, yeah, talked a lot about James Cameron and his rise to fame through his movies. Wes Craven is the same way, and without Nightmare, he wouldn't have been who he was. And she was just, I'm sorry, I don't mean to, I'm actually kind of getting teary-eyed because it's, I know it's really ridiculous, isn't it? But
no,
anyway,
it's okay.
She was just a really amazing person, and we stopped and talked to her after the panel later that day at her booth.
Yeah.
And I just told her, I was like, Freddie and Wes were such a big part of my childhood and my life. They really shaped my weird craziness that I have and I am today. And
so that's who to blame, huh?
Yeah.
And you blame them.
It all now makes sense. It all makes perfect sense. Eighth grade hallway, running down the hall, crazy. Yeah, okay. All right. Happy.
No running in the halls.
What was interesting, too, was the story, and I don't know if you remember this, how she talked about how Wes would write his stories in the early days of computing about how he wore this, apparently she was saying that he wore this blue bathrobe and a pith helmet.
A pith helmet.
Yeah.
He wore the pith helmet everywhere. It's his thing.
And he would wear a pair of slippers and would be in his room writing for like 8 hours a day. She would take food in, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. And at night was when she would go over with
and
the
scripts.
And
they would sit and do the scripts and stuff. I just, who was it that she was saying would come over to the house and they would...
Oh, I can't remember who that person
was. They would come over, it was another real famous director, would come over to the house and they would both put on their pith helmets and they would like have sword fights and they would go fight and they would go talk and she would take the wife and they would go drink wine because it was like, they're not going to see him for a while.
So basically, yeah, they're just playing. They're playing. They're being boys, essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Hearing the stories about Wes as a person was really awesome to me because I really liked Wes Craven.
Now the thing that was kind of cool about this weekend as well was they also had some people from the three main actors from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh my God! Awesome.
Yeah.
I love that.
They actually had what's his face there.
I can't remember the actor's name. James Hong or.
Well, what's his character's name?
James Wong Howe.
Lo Pan.
James Wong Howe.
Yeah.
And they had the other two Asian actors that played the Raiden-like figures from the movie. And according to one of the people I talked with, it was the first time that they had done a U.S. convention because they've mostly done overseas, like UK and Asia conventions. So this is the first time they'd actually been over to the US to do a US convention for Big Trouble in Little China.
Such a good movie.
Yeah, such a good movie.
I still haven't seen it. And the only reason I haven't seen it. Well, funny story, the only reason Brian has seen it is that he sat and watched it Friday night before we drove up to Indianapolis. Because we knew they were going to be there.
Check in the mail, because that's how I roll.
That is like a childhood like favorite of mine.
I mean, it's on my bucket list. I just haven't seen it.
That is an 80s cult staple, Megan. You cannot pass away without seeing that one. In fact, don't watch it right now.
That's right up there. Yeah, that's right up there with Goonies. You have to watch it.
It's on my list.
I will say this. Now, we did do the Nightmare on Elm Street panel, and I told Meg, I said, because it was packed. I mean, it was like standing room only.
Well, it was right after...
It was right after Lance Henriksen.
So we just kind of stayed where we were at.
And I told Meg, after we got done with the panel, I was like, because when we initially entered into the show, they were handing out a ticket with a handwritten time and date on it. It said, like, so ours was Saturday 4:30 for our autograph with Robert Englund.
And if you have never been, and I'm going to assume, if you've never been to a convention anywhere where there are famous people, they usually have areas where you line up in a line to go get an autograph, and you pay for the autograph. And when we walked in Saturday morning, we just happened to walk past this table, and this guy is like, okay, here's your ticket. And we're like, what's this ticket for? Because this is the first time we've ever experienced this. He's like, this is your ticket to get your autograph from Robert Englund.
Mm-hmm.
Be back here at 4:30 today to line up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, okay, this is a little bit different because normally you just kind of find the line and get in line.
Yeah.
And like Brian was saying, right after the Nightmare on Elm Street panel, which had everybody and was you guys got to see part of that because that's what you Periscope.
That's what I did on Periscope. Now, the Nightmare on Elm Street panel went from 3 to 4 p.m. on Saturday. I told Meg, I said, now, since this panel gets out at 3:50, I was like, we need to get in line now to get in line for 4:30 because there was already a line of people that were there. So we're standing in line, and we moved maybe halfway down the hallway. We were like the next person to get into Robert Englund's queue line. His manager comes out. And meanwhile, this is Saturday at 6 o'clock.
I was going to say, tell them what time. We had been in line from 3:50 to 6 o'clock.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Wow.
And his manager came out, and his manager, she was decent about it, but she was like, okay, I'm sorry to tell you all this. We are capping the line for today, for tonight. Robert will not sign any more autographs past 6 o'clock. If you have a ticket for today, come back tomorrow, which was Sunday. Come back tomorrow at 10:30 before the show opens, and we will honor your ticket from today. He will autograph whatever you want him to autograph, and then you will be on your way. Happy to
go. And see, the problem, the reason the line got capped is because Robert was spending anywhere from 2 to 5 minutes with each person.
Talking to them.
Oh, wow.
Talking to them.
Wow.
And so it wasn't moving. So when she came out and she was explaining that, lots of people were mad, and I'm like, oh, I'm not mad. If he's spending like 5 minutes talking to each person, shit, I'll come back tomorrow. I'm okay with that.
Well, I think it was – I thought I heard Enkenbauer. Sorry.
No, that's okay. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say so he literally spent 2 to 5 minutes with everybody then. So
no, with every person an autograph with him.
Like the funny thing about it was when we came back on Sunday – This is kind of, and Brink, you may or may not know this, if you have been a longstanding Knight Rider fan, as you say that you are. You know this, Robert Englund was in one episode of Knight Rider in the third or fourth season.
Oh, damn. That would have been at
the end. You got to go back and watch.
Shame on you, Bill Willie.
That would have been at the end with super pursuit mode and everything else then, probably.
What was really cool was when we went back Sunday, we wound up getting our photograph autographed. So it was actually kind of cool, but I actually had the chance to ask Robert Englund, what was it like to work on that Universal set with David Hasselhoff and all the rest of them? He was just telling me about how David Hasselhoff is just like this really kind of big Joker kind of guy, and just they had a good time, and was talking about how that set that they filmed that episode on was actually one of the original Universal sets that they had used to film, I think it was Phantom of the Opera on back in the 30s.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So, it was kind of a cool experience because, he talked with everybody. He was just really, really down to earth. Was very, very much of a very different experience.
He was just like a big cuddly teddy bear. I wanted to hug him and like take him in my pocket home.
you wanted to take Freddy home with you?
I did. I loved every minute of it. I did, John Z, I did ask him about Funhouse Massacre.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this or not. So I just asked him, I'm like, so what was it like working on Funhouse Massacre? And he's like, oh, it was really fun. He's like, but the scene where she went to strangle him,
mm-hmm.
apparently the prosthetic that they had put on his neck to bleed, she put the wire too high up.
A little too tight.
Too tight, too high up. It didn't hit the prosthetic. He was actually being strangled. In the movie.
The funny thing to note is that was the actress's first movie. She had never done anything before that. So, she has no idea what marks were, special effects. She probably
Well, he wasn't upset about it. He was joking. He was just saying it was a funny experience. But I was like, could you imagine that?
And actually,
that poor actress.
That movie
strangles Freddy Krueger.
They actually do a little movie festival, and it actually won best movie for the movie festival.
Best film and best film and best special effects.
Yeah, they had a showing of it that night, but we didn't get to go because we have an 8-year old and he was cranky.
Damn kids.
But overall it's a good experience, and I will say that the March upcoming March show at Sharonville is actually going to feature Mitch Pileggi from X-Files, as well as the actors that portrayed the Lone Gunman. So that'll
Let's
be
not forget Shocker. Can anyone forget that Wes Craven film?
I remember Shocker very well.
Oh, is that the guy that traveled through the electricity and all that stuff?
Yep.
Yeah, I've seen that.
So
that was Skinner.
If you guys are big fans of the X-Files, March 2016, Sharonville Convention Center.
Yeah, it's going to be like an X-Files type.
Yeah.
X-Files comes out in January?
Something like, the new one. So,
yeah.
So
it'll
they are updating their website. If you go to horrorhoundweekend.com, they should have some preliminary information on there. And they'll be having more updates soon. But I will say that if you are interested in going, buy your tickets early.
Wait till the weekend you're going to go.
And I learned that from experience because we went to our first experience was going in March of this year, March of 2015, to the Sharonville Convention Center, and we met Linda Blair. Who is no offense if you are a fan of The Exorcist, but she was not a very friendly person to talk to. It was not a very good experience.
We met George Wendt. William Catt.
William Catt.
You guys want to, just for our audience, just explain who they played? Because I some of them even I don't know. So
okay, William Catt
is Norm.
Norm from Cheers.
Oh.
George Wendt. Norm. Yeah. And William Catt was the greatest American hero.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we all know Linda Blair.
right, obviously.
Okay. So, we went, so if you go to the one in Sharonville, it's pretty much a full weekend. They had, at the March show, they had some of the characters from The Walking Dead.
They had Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus.
Was there in March.
Mm-hmm. So, they kind of do a whole rotating bevy of actors and actresses.
Cool. It sounds like you guys had a heck of a weekend. Sounds like it was
cool. It was a pretty good experience. It was.
It's like the highlight of my life.
The highlight of your life. Are you saying more than your marriage and the birth of your child?
I think it kind of ranks up there in the top three.
Because it was nice to see the fact that they had a Nightmare on Elm Street reunion. Now, I know that there's probably a lot of details that we don't know about Wes Craven's passing, but I can honestly say, had Wes Craven been there with the rest of the cast and the crew, I think it just would have been, I've just kind of gotten goosebumps just talking about this. I think it just would have been a phenomenally hell of a weekend had Craven been there.
And I don't know if you guys know this, but A New Nightmare was one of Johnny Depp's first movies.
He's in that?
Yep.
Yep.
The original Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Nightmare. Yeah, in A Nightmare.
A Nightmare,
the very first one.
Yeah. Okay, I thought New Nightmare is what you said. I was like, what?
No, I'm sorry. A Nightmare, not New Nightmare.
Okay, copy.
Real quick, I'm sorry. We're probably going over. But when we got our picture taken with Robert Englund, I look like I'm scared to death. we walked in, and a friend of mine, when they went to Dragon Con, brought me back a little stuffed Freddy Krueger doll. Mm-hmm. And so I took it with me when we got our picture taken. So it was me, Brian, and Jack, and Robert Englund. And we walked in, and he had the glove on, and he grabbed Jack. I wish you could see it. I just see it. He grabbed Jack, put the glove around his throat, took the Freddy doll from me, put it in his other hand, grabbed Brian and said, okay, you put your hand on my neck because you're trying to kill me because I have your child. And then he grabs my hand. And he's like, now you put your hand. But he didn't tell me where to put my hand. He he just said, you put your hand. And I'm like, I don't know what to do with my hand. So I go to try to grab this. He goes, no. You want to strangle me. So I put my hand, and right as I put my hand up there, the lady who's taking the picture goes, okay, ready, snap. And I mean, I'm a deer in freaking headlights. I look terrified in the picture.
Well, if it...
Me if, too.
I'll have to check that out. Actually, if it's okay with you, Meg, maybe we could put it on the Ford Midwest Guys Facebook page. I don't know.
Well, it's on Brian's Facebook, so go for it.
Yeah, I think I posted a picture up, but it was pre-autographed, so I can definitely get a photo of that.
His autograph that he signed, he asked Jack what his name was. He's like, what's your name? And he's like, Jackson. So he wrote... what was it? Mom and Dad, I have Jackson.
I have Jackson. Mom's next.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
So it was also cool. It was also a cool weekend as well because I'm not a very big horror fan. I mean, there are two.
I'm working
movies.
On him.
Yeah, there are two movies that I have grown to enjoy and I have watched numerous times. One of them being Reanimator, and the other one being House.
If any of you have not seen Reanimator, you need to watch it.
Can't say I've seen that one. I've seen
but
House.
But not with little children around.
With little kids around. back in March, we had the opportunity to meet Jeffrey Combs, who was in Reanimator. And that this show that we just went to just back in September, Brian Usna, who was the producer... for Reanimator was there, so I got both of them to autograph my 11x17 poster I have of Reanimator.
And
so.
You got George Wendt's autograph.
I have George Wendt and William Katz.
William Katz's autograph because they were both House.
House was pretty cool. It was like corny humor, is what I.
Yes. I love it.
Very cool. Very cool, guys. Well, thanks for bringing us in and sharing and, tell us about it. It sounds like it was a pretty cool event. Sounds like one hell of a weekend, so to speak.
Uh-huh. Literally.
So staying with from one horror genre to another, to a newer one, Mr. Ankenbauer, I believe you've been watching the latest The Walking Dead spinoff, Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead, the original series.
Yeah.
So when they said they were going to come out with this one and show how it all started, I was really excited. Mm-hmm. As you can hear my tones from the original, podcast that we were on talking about it.
Right.
However.
Oh, actually, before you start, we should probably just warn our audience just in case.
There's no spoilers.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Confidence is high. I repeat, confidence is high.
Flush the bombers, get the subs in launch mode. We are at...
Spoiler alert.
Sorry, I love that.
That's
chewy. I love that. I love that little... I made that, and I love to play it. Sorry, go ahead, Brian.
So no spoilers, right? No spoilers, though.
Oh, well, anyway.
But that's cool.
Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
But basically, this is telling the story of how it started, patient zero, if you will, though they don't really actually come out and tell you anything, and there's no real story to it, and you don't see any of the Walking Dead. You basically just see the suburbs, the entire series.
So they're not being chased by zombies?
Nope.
It hasn't even been out an entire season yet.
The season finale was tonight.
Oh, really?
Because the first season of Walking Dead was 6 episodes, right?
Yep. So this was only going to be 6. It's a 6-episode season. They're already going to have episode 2, and then they're going to have an online, episode 2, a season 2, and then they're already going to have a Fear the Walking Dead Flight 462 online. But if it's anything like this one, no thank you.
So
462 reference.
Yeah.
462 is just the flight number.
Okay.
So is there something that cues this up? Is there a plane flying over or something? And that's what the web series is based off of, or?
It's not Oceanic Flight 815.
Yeah. There's no subcontext to it or anything.
yeah, in one of the episodes, we do see a plane going overhead, but we don't really they don't say anything about it.
So
it
was a plane like accidentally went overhead during shooting. They decided to make a whole series around it.
Yeah. So my guess is that's what this is going to be about. Is the plane that flew overhead in episode?
Yeah. So it's kind of like Lost, where the plane flies overhead, and
the whole show, every time you thought it was going to, like, there was a spot where it was going to get better, there was just nothing. And the Walking Dead, the zombies or whatever that we see in this episode, are nothing like the ones we see in The Walking Dead. Now, I'm not sure how it's possible, but in this one, it's like they're getting used to being The Walking Dead, so there's no real, like, they have no strength or anything, and it's basically really boring.
So it does take place in the same universe as The Walking Dead, correct?
Correct. This is the beginning of the outbreak in the U.S.
So it's like a prequel series almost.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. The prequel
series.
It's just in another city. This one takes place on the West Coast in L.A.
Oh, dear God. It's not like CIS, Miami, and New York, and...
Yeah, basically. NC.
They're
Walking Dead Miami. Walking Dead New York.
We're going to knock them dead.
Walking Dead London, also known as 28 Days Later.
Yeah. No, I mean, this was a... there wasn't really any characters that stood out. There was no real, like... great acting in it. Everything felt thrown together. I felt like we could have gotten everything from these six episodes in two episodes.
So was it actors and actresses that have been in The Walking Dead already, or is this unknown?
It's a whole other show.
Completely new cast. There's no reference to anything else because technically The Walking Dead takes place months after the outbreak starts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird. I understand why they did it, but it without anything else to build off the original show. Yeah, that just going on from the name alone. That's a lot to ask for a new series, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean,
I'm looking at like who like the heads of the departments are, and it's just you don't have anybody with like the name of like Frank Darabont, who headed the first season of The Walking Dead. I mean, Frank Darabont is a seasoned and very respected writer and director, and he basically made the beginning of that show. And you really don't have, I'm looking at all the producers and everybody's supposed to be the head of the show. I mean, you really don't have anybody that has like the talent that he does.
So is this show actually related to The Walking Dead?
Just the fact that it's
zombies.
Like, so we know as an audience where this is going.
So it's like how Return of the Living Dead is related to Dawn of the Dead, just the fact that there are zombies in it.
Yeah, well, this ties into the fact that us as an audience know what happens on The Walking Dead, and we know that they're actually dead. But the way this series starts out is they don't know that they're dead; they just think that they're sick.
Wait a minute.
But I guess I should be more clear. Is it an actual spinoff? Like,
yes,
is it?
Yeah. Robert
Kurtzman.
He's the one that does The Walking Dead. He's actually in charge of this one, too.
He actually did makeup on the Funhouse Massacre that got special effects at Horror Hound, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, he knows what he's doing. And this isn't in the graphic novel. This was something completely written by him to tie in. Not specifically by him, but, you know, collaborated by him.
Yeah, he's like one of the executive producers listed on the show, but at the same time, it's like him and like five or six other people, too, that are just...
Right.
Yeah. So, I haven't seen it, so I just to get you, just try to get a feel for it, so it sounds like they're just trying to tell the backstory of how the zombies come about in the first place?
Yep.
Well, okay. we kind of got that in like season one of The Walking Dead, too. Didn't we?
Well,
not really.
This is in depth. This is, nobody's ever seen anything. They're starting to, in the very first episode, we see them closing schools because of the sickness that's going around, and they tell people to stay inside.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, I mean, this is stuff that like they, was done in flashbacks in seasons 1 and 2, like where we see where Rick is locked away in his, you know, in his hospital room, where we get all that stuff.
Right, right, but this is, like I said, all six episodes probably could have been done in two, but they added filler to make it six episodes. And then on top of that, they went ahead and they greenlit season two, and they greenlit this Fear the Walking Dead Flight 462, which is going to be online only.
So are we going to have like a Fear the Walking Dead spinoff mentality going on after this, you think?
Well, I haven't seen the finale yet, but if it's anything like the first five episodes, it's pretty much just solidified the fact that I'm not going to watch season two or this Flight 462 because there's no real... There's no real horror effect to it. It feels more like a drama.
Yeah.
That they're trying to bring in this zombie
backstory.
Yeah, if it could start getting faster, like getting more zombies into it and go with that aspect to kind of follow them like we do with regular Walking Dead, where we follow that group through everywhere, as opposed to what they're currently doing, which is more here's the family. Here's each one of their backstories. Here's this family. Here's all their backstories. Oh, and by the way, their neighbor died, so here's this part of this story. So, and, I mean, it's just...
So, Brian, I haven't really seen the show myself.
C-minus is my grade.
So I haven't really seen the show myself. Were there even any zombies in the first couple episodes?
There was a zombie.
Oh, God. Wow.
Like a fully transformed one, or just, like you said, like a sick person?
It might have been the second episode. It was either the first or second episode. We see glimpses of what we think are zombies.
Yeah.
They don't really come out and show you anything. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that's a friend of somebody that turns into a zombie. We see that. And then we see a couple other what I assume was going to be a main character.
Yeah.
And since you already said spoiler alert, I thought he was going to be a main character, but we see him zombified. But it doesn't resemble anything like the other.
Well, we could follow this main character zombie as he goes on an eating rampage throughout Los Angeles. That'd be kind of funny.
Exactly. But, I mean, it didn't have the same feel.
Out to lunch with the Walking Dead.
Well,
Walking lunch.
So there's really no they don't tell you anything, like there's no hint as to where it came from or what it is or
nope.
So in like six episodes they're not really even leading up to anything that could possibly be like awesome.
No, we'll see. That's what every episode you think that the next episode is going to have something great in it.
And it doesn't.
And it doesn't.
Oh, so like Heroes after season one.
Yes. However.
Speaking of Heroes. No, anyway.
However, the last episode, the one right before the finale, they did come up to a scene that kind of leads you to the, what do they call them in The Walking Dead? Herds?
Yeah.
So it kind of leads you in that direction that that's where it's going to start. They're going to have herds or something in this finale, but. There's nothing that's actually, there hasn't been any kind of, like, people running for their lives or anything else. It's basically just mass chaos.
Because, by this point in the first season of Walking Dead, like, within episode 5, we were not only at the CDC trying to figure out what's going on with the outbreak, but by episode 1, we have seen the whole world in chaos. I mean, don't they know what kind of zombie fans are out there? Like, we expect mass chaos early on.
Yeah, this is basically, they're treating it look like the plague. And basically, they're just telling everybody to stay inside.
You know, fighting their way out of a tank kind of thing, right?
No, obviously not.
But to me, and this is just a guess, but to me it sounds like a slow burn to maybe... I don't know. Do you think they would merge the two shows? Like you would have this, you'd have the Walking Dead storyline, then Fear of the Walking Dead.
That'd be East Coast versus West Coast violence there.
They won't. I don't think they're ever going to merge the two.
Yeah.
The only way I think they'll merge the two is if they eventually, the Fear of the Walking Dead, the ratings go so low that they're gonna call it a crossover event.
Yeah.
And even then, it might be one person in that crossover event.
Well, I would think I've never watched either series, so, and this is just an outside perspective, but I would think you can only run into so many regular people or so many situations before you start running out of people and storylines, you know?
You'd be surprised. In the novel, there was a lot of big groups that had formed and that came together and clashed and caused basically the entire thing. So that one basically just takes care of the East Coast in the Walking Dead novel. So if you add in the West Coast, you can do the same thing on the West Coast. You know, you have the people that are in the mountains and you have the people that are in the big, large cities. And, you know,
I can get into my West Coast hatred so much right now.
Yeah. So I don't know. I gave it a C-. For the sheer fact that it still had some resemblance of The Walking Dead, so I didn't give it, you know, a full F or D.
Right.
And I'm hoping that it does something more. Like I said, I didn't get to watch the season finale tonight. I'll be watching that when I get home. But I don't know. Thus far, it has been a very big letdown.
Yeah, that sounds very disappointing. I mean, that does not, for the whole genre, I mean, that, you know, not to say that the original series won't stay strong, but that doesn't sound good.
Which, by the way, is what, like a week away?
There you go. So,
there's that.
I'm looking forward to October 8th.
Is that
October 8th?
Yeah. So, American Horror Story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga's an American Horror Story.
Yeah, we don't have Jessica Lange. Yeah, we don't have Jessica Lange. We replaced her with Lady Gaga.
No, Jessica Lange is actually going to. She's going to be in the show.
She is. I don't know. They haven't listed her in the credits.
They don't have her listed in the credits. They don't have her listed on any of the things where you go see all the characters and stuff. But she is supposed to make an appearance in the show. I don't know where. I don't know when. I don't know how.
I don't know. I suddenly have a vision of Lady Gaga coming out of an egg, and I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, no. Her character this year.
I don't know. Her music videos kind of lead up to the fact that she could be in an American Horror Story. I mean, that's kind of a nice little fit right there.
Of American Horror Story.
American Trainwreck, maybe.
Hey.
That's Miley Cyrus.
Coming from the same creator, Ryan Murphy, who also gave us Glee.
Gave us Scream Queens.
Scream Queens. And that's been one of Meg's kind of, I guess you could say, I'll let you talk about it because you've watched the first two episodes.
Well, I don't want to keep taking up time.
No, it's fine. That's what we're here for.
Oh, is that okay, gentlemen?
No, go right ahead. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, I'll make it quick. Scream Queens is on Fox. It's fan-freaking-tastic. If you love American Horror Story and if you love Glee, it's like the two of them put together. It's got Jamie Lee Curtis. It's got Leah Michelle, Emma Roberts, Abigail Breslin, and there's other people. I just can't think of all of them right now.
Is it a real show or a reality show? I can't.
No, it's a real show. It's not a reality. It's just
a
TV
show.
But it takes place on a college campus, so it kind of feels like Scream a little bit. It's pretty much all centered around this sorority and these horrible things that have happened in this sorority and all the secrets and dark, nasty things. And in the very first episode, you get, what's her face? She's a singer. She was on Nickelodeon.
Oh, Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande is in the very first episode. And, it's just, I don't know, if you haven't watched... Is she what?
Does she lick a donut?
She does not lick a donut.
And say why she hates America?
She did not lick a donut or say why she hates America. Not yet. But she won't. And, okay, never mind.
Well, she did.
No, I mean in the show she won't.
Oh, that's good.
But if you haven't watched it, you should watch it. If you like American Horror Story and if you like Glee, It's a very campy horror. I love it, but I'm weird.
I mean, so. Jamie Lee Curtis, if you're familiar with Jamie Lee Curtis, she's been in the horror genre for years. You know, made famous by Halloween back in 78, if I remember correctly. So, you know, she plays the dean of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a scripted show coming from the creators of American Horror Story and Glee. It's Ryan Murphy, it's Brad Felchick, and I can't remember the other person that worked on the show with them. But it's kind of an amalgamation between the two shows.
Hmm. Interesting.
It is. You should watch it.
Hmm. I might. I'm not a horror fan. I might have to check it out, though. So from one kind of dark side to another, rumor has it, ladies and gentlemen, that Mr. Hayden Christensen is being trained to possibly be in Episode 8, Star Wars Episode 8. So not Episode 7, The Force Awakens, but Star Wars Episode 8.
What's he being trained to do?
Well, that's a good question.
What does that mean?
Well, usually that means that they need to get in shape. But last time I saw him, he didn't look like he was in horrible shape. So,
why are you sending him out?
So
be Willie's dark secret.
My dark secret. Yes, I have a man crush on him. No, I do not. But,
wow, all the Jedi's. You want to see his lightsaber?
I don't know. I just have to throw this in there with my. You're gonna put Hayden Christensen back into Episode 8.
Isn't he dead?
Yeah, I mean he played Anakin Skywalker, Darth Vader. I mean,
no, technically he's in Episode 6 thanks to George Lucas.
Well, yeah,
he's a ghost.
Right.
How are you going to bring him back, for crying out loud, okay?
This
is one of the problems that I have with it, the movie series being Disney-fied.
Okay, can we not?
Wasn't Yoda a ghost in one of the movies?
Yeah, at the end of Jedi, he's a ghost.
Okay, so he was a ghost at the end of... So we still hear from him when he's talking to... And Obi-Wan appeared to Luke throughout Empire and Jedi. Like, there's like entire scenes of dialogue between those two.
And there is evidence, if you want to go back to Clone Wars Season 6, just because I'm the Star Wars nerd here, of him, just because he's the chosen one, that he can possibly, there's evidence there, support that he could become a Force ghost.
I got to interject here because Meg's over here looking at me like, you just can't. Just shaking your head no. And it's, yes, I can. I can be the villain of the show because... I can honestly say I'm just not excited for anything Star Wars related.
It's okay. It's all right, man.
I mean,
that's why you're here.
I went out and saw the figures that they've released, and it's like I just – all the toys, the remote control BB-8.
Can we talk about horror again?
$150, remote control – whatchamacallit, and it's just...
Merchandising!
It's very... I think the toys are cool, but, I mean, to get back to...
Yeah, Star Wars and toys are never, anything that have, like...
I went out and bought the new lightsaber, the three-prong lightsaber, so it's pretty damn cool. I've been playing with it a lot. It's actually Gabby's toy, but I play with it a lot.
And hey, those commercials for Build Your Own Lightsaber are freaking awesome. That brought my childhood back right there.
It just makes me wonder, though, and hopefully I'm wrong, but it just makes me wonder if everybody who's working on the movie has been paid by J.J. Abrams to say, this is the best Star Wars movie ever.
What do you have against J.J. Abrams?
I think
I have a lot against J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, there's an episode, so 1 and 2 of our show where he mentions how much he hates him.
I think I've said...
but
never mind.
But yeah, stay on topic, but I think the Hayden Christensen rumor is a line, and I will give you this, Birchie, it's a line, on this might be going too far. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a ghost, a Force ghost, per se, and I wouldn't mind seeing him in a flashback scene, because there are three possibilities here. We have a Force ghost, a flashback scene of some kind to the prequel era of Star Wars, or... or, God forbid, a clone. So, like I said, Force Ghost, I'm okay with. Flashback scene, be kind of cool. But to make a Vader clone or an Anakin clone and bring him back into the story and resurrect him, no, thank you. That's
you know, that'd be awesome.
Actually, you know what? That whole prospect, actually, the more I think about it, actually could be kind of interesting, because if you think of, like, Empire and Jedi, when you've seen Luke talking with Obi-Wan through his training, I mean, this is basically, like, 7 through 9 even sounds like it's about the resurgence of the Sith. I mean, who better than the ghost of Darth Vader to talk to whoever the apprentice rising would be? That could be pretty interesting. And
but here's an interesting twist on that as well, because here's something that I've read about online where Disney has released the trading cards that have information about each one of the figures. And one of the things that they have printed on the Finn trading card, they have him listed as a Sith.
Okay.
Well, one of the other, and Abrams has actually come out saying, no, Finn's a good guy. Finn's not a Sith. Okay, so which is it? He's
the
character played.
I don't know anything about that per se, but I will say.
Let's wait to find out.
Yeah, we won't know until we see the movie there. I'll have to look into that. Where'd you find. You'll have to tell me about it after the show. I'll have to look into that.
My question is, you're saying Hayden Christensen is possibly coming back or whatever. Is he coming back as Anakin, or is he coming back as Darth Vader?
Well, that would be the question. Now, the way I see it, if you go from Jedi, Vader goes from being Darth Vader back to Anakin Skywalker. So therefore, and you see him as John mentioned, you see him as a Force ghost at the end of Return of the Jedi as well, meaning that he's been restored, he's back to being Anakin Skywalker, the good guy. So, therefore, if they were to bring him back as a Force ghost, he would be the Force ghost talking and helping the Jedi. You wouldn't see Darth Vader's ghost, per se. So, and as far as I can tell in everything that I've seen in the, especially with the Clone Wars Season 6, I keep preaching that to you guys. Everything I've seen mythology-wise from Star Wars point, the Sith cannot be Force ghosts. At least the way it's written right now. So that's just not something possible. They're forbidden. They can't. They when they die, that's it. There's no afterlife for them per se.
I hope he comes back as a clone then.
Oh dear God. No.
Just like Darth Maul was supposed to return as clones.
Oh,
that would have been.
There we go. We could have the Darth Vader clone and the Boba Fett clone come back.
I will say this, if I do see the movie, and you know, Disney's already said that they're going to have it in IMAX format for the entire month of December, going through to the middle of January, so any IMAX releases have now been pushed back because...
Which are typically none around that time because...
Well, yeah, but still, they're going to have it in IMAX format for an entire month.
Sweet.
I will say this, that if something comes out to the point of where they have, you know, this whole Darth Vader coming back as a clone, I'm done. I will walk away from the Star Wars franchise.
I'll be honest with you, Bertie. I'm almost there with you, and that says a lot for me. It better if they do it. It better be for something I can't even fathom right now.
All right.
Because I've gone through all of this storyline wise in my head, and I've for 2 weeks almost. Because
there is no way you'd ever be done with Star Wars, Brian.
Well, I probably not. You're probably right, Brian. But I have to admit, the idea of bringing Hayden Christensen back as a clone, I don't like it. I don't like the idea. It just everything about it just that's too. That's lazy writing, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, and that's the other thing, too, is this is why I've kind of avoided every plot reveal about the story, because to me personally, like, the worst thing a fan can do is build up their own storyline or build up their own plot or build up everything in their head before a movie's released, because when it's released, it's like when you watch it's like when you read a book and then hear they're adapting it later, you already have a notion in your mind as to what it should be, and it's not going to be that notion when you see it released.
It's never going to... never going to meet your expectations, Sam.
So, yeah, I mean, this is why, like, I've learned from so many other franchises that I've, like, fallen in love with and, like, followed every plot point, followed every, you know, news or developing story, and I've always been let down in some way, so that's why I usually think the best thing I can do for myself is to avoid every rumor, every kind of, you know, development.
I can't help myself. I'm like the kid at Christmas that has to like peek in his Christmas presents, you know?
I get it. But before I will say this, as far as like Hayden Christensen goes, the guy actually is a really good actor. A lot of people forget that. I mean, before he was destroyed by Lucas, ironically enough, he did some great movies. Like, he was in Life is a House. He was in Shattered Glass. I mean, he's actually a Screen Actors Guild Award-nominated actor for Life is a House, and he's very good.
Well, he also did, what was that, jumping movie?
Jumper, yeah.
Jumper.
Yeah, and I mean, and again, this is proof that when he's in the hands of a good director...
Great movie.
You know, when he's in the hands of a good director, he can actually be very good and have a good range to him and allow a personality to develop on screen. But with Lucas, we've seen him just, you know, take charismatic actors like Natalie Portman and Ewan McGregor and Samuel L. Jackson, reduce them to a monosyllabic bore.
Well, I'm a prequel. I've always said this. I'm a prequel defender, not a hater. But the one part of the prequels I had a real problem with was Hayden's acting.
But again, he's new.
You know,
directing actors.
If I could interject here, just real quick, I just want to throw this in there just for something for you guys to think about. John, you were mentioning about how you don't like to read a lot of things surrounding about, you know, before a movie comes out because you feel that you'll be let down. And I perfectly understand that. I mean, I can interject that from the standpoint of, and you guys might get a little chuckle out of this, but this kind of makes me think back to when Genesis did their reunion tour back in 2007, there was a lot of buildup to that tour because they had not toured previously since 1992, and it was 15 years. So there was a lot of discussion online about what was going to be in their set list, what they were going to play, what they weren't going to play. And at the time, I was involved with a lot of online Genesis forums reading about, oh, you know, hey, they're talking about doing this kind of set list and this kind of thing and whatnot. And in all honesty, once they announced that set list and they actually took it out and played it on tour, I knew what the set list was going to be. But at the same time, I wasn't let down. It was like, okay, this is kind of cool because I'm seeing things that they have performed in the past, but I'm witnessing it for the first time with my own ears and my own eyes. And it was a cool experience. I will say that. I mean, yeah, I knew going in what to expect, but I was not let down.
Well, and that's the difference with, like, you know, a set list of music versus, you know, trying to come up with an entire plot for a film. I mean, because when you're reading spoilers and, like, thinking about, you know, plot lines and thinking of, oh, hey, the story's going to go in this direction or this direction, and you think, hey, this could be so cool if it did this and then it does something different, then it's going to leave a bit of a sour taste. Just like if you read a book and it's adapted to a film, you're like, well, why did they cut this part out of the book? I mean, it's because it's a 400-page book, and to adapt every page to a script would be a 5-hour film. So there's stuff you got to cut out. It's two different mediums that you're doing.
It is.
This is why the phrase "the book was better" is so popular.
And I think what Birch might be trying to say is to appreciate the art form. I guess, you know, whether you know everything or you don't know everything, I think is his point. I not to interject over you, buddy, but
no, you're fine. I think Bay was going to interject.
Well, here. No, I am just staying with that same topic. I kind of agree with John. Because, I mean, not so much of, like, completely becoming a hermit and sheltering myself from everything, but I have a problem, and that's one of the issues that I have with you, my love, is that you do research your stuff, and you do research your stuff way too much, and instead of just going to a movie or going to a concert or going to somewhere and enjoying the art form, you have either A, pretty much dumbed yourself, not dumbed yourself down, but pretty much you've already got your mindset that you're going to hate it, or built yourself up so high that no matter what they do, you're going to be disappointed.
Which I think we have both opinions on this show.
Well, here's where I think you'll agree with me, John. I didn't waste my money on anything correlated to Michael Bay, because you know what? He's not worth it, my money.
Why do you have to always bring up Michael Bay?
Because he's a perfect person to talk about in this regard.
He's the only one we can all agree that we all agree he sucks. So.
No, he doesn't. He's coming out with 4 new Transformer movies.
You know what?
Michael Bay, I've decided that not only is he not worth my money, he's not even worth my anger anymore, because he's just going to keep doing the same thing. So why should I build up the same animosity anymore?
I wish we had more time. I would love. Oh, sorry, Brian. Go ahead.
I was going to say M. Night Shyamalan's not worth my money either.
Well,
I think after The Last Airbender, he's not worth anybody's money.
I wish we had more time, because I would love to just bash Transformers for hours. Hours and hours and hours and hours. Yeah, yeah.
No way.
I think we have a future episode here, the Michael Bay Hatred Show.
I haven't even seen enough Transformers to hate it, so.
The only one I haven't seen is the last one, but that's because he's violated my 3 strikes as a director rule.
See, I live in a household where pretty much everything is hated, so I don't get to watch a lot.
So much potential. So much potential in that whole Transformers storyline. So much potential. They didn't even know what they had when they made the first animated movie. They were just trying to sell frickin' toys. But they had gold.
They always had.
They had Orson Welles in the animated movie, for crying out loud. Come on.
That movie fucking rocks. I don't care.
You know, the funny thing is with Transformers, when I was 7 years old, and the first time I saw Tom Hanks in Big, and he's sitting in on that toy company's, talking about like trying to develop the next line of toys, and they talk about a building that turns into a robot or a bug that turns into a robot. That is how I've always pictured Transformers, even as a 7-year-old.
Oh man, not me, dude. I totally bought into the whole thing. Of course, it all went downhill after the movie, but still.
Now if the G.I. Joe live action movies could have been anything like the cartoon, it would have been worse.
You've not even seen them.
I'm not going to waste my time, because they both bombed.
They're painful. The first one is...
I never saw the second one. I stopped after the first.
Oh, yeah.
This is why I stick to horror.
Because we don't get let down there, do we, Megan?
We don't get let down in horror.
Because
did the cast reunion talk about the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street by any chance?
No, they did not. And I didn't... Nobody brought it up at all.
I will say this. Now, I will say that Robert Englund did mention... He did briefly talk about the fact that Michael Bay had Platinum Dunes, and that Platinum Dunes has been designed to remanufacture horror movies. That was basically what came out of Robert Englund.
Oh yeah. Hmm. Well, speaking as far as like Megan wanted to go back to the horror franchise, Brink, are you okay if I go on with my topic?
Go ahead.
Or still more on yours.
No, your transition sounded better than mine, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, as far as my topic, like in the last couple of weeks when everyone's been asking me what to do for this episode, I have really just been involved on only 2 things lately that have been taking up my time. The first being working on that Bruce Willis film, which I'll probably save for the next episode. But the other has been the fact that I have been developing my first major professional short film that I'm going to be directing.
Ah, sweet. Let's hear about it, man. What do you got?
Well, I have wrote kind of it's kind of inspired by the feature that I've written about a haunted hospital, or at least it used to be about a haunted hospital. Now it's about a guy who isn't sure whether or not he's experiencing, a psychotic break, or if he's actually seeing ghosts in the hospital. But this is actually based on the setting of that, kind of, setting the tone of, suspense about, can I trust what I'm seeing? And it's about a college student dealing with both the fact that his mother is in a kind of vegetative state in the hospital, and his stay that night at the hospital, and the fact that he's basically goes on kind of this journey through the other side.
Ah, Cool. So it's kind of like a creepy hospital kind of afterlife kind of sort of suspense thriller horror movie.
Suspense thriller, psychological. We've got from the fact that I've been working on so many of these films the last couple of years, I've actually gotten a lot of actually people that are union members to, you know, help me out with my shorts. I've got Aaron Forbes as my unit production manager, who she's been working in like accounting offices and stuff for like the last handful of Cincinnati films that have been on. She actually worked in the office of the Avengers when it was in Cleveland. My friend Lucas is in charge of the lighting department. He worked on Funhouse Massacre with me, and he's worked on like Blunderer, Miles Ahead, and every other film that's been through here as well. I have a co-producer, Chenny Chen, and Michael Potter, who's the director of photography. They both work in this local production company called Plum Street. And another friend of mine, actually, Brink, you met him when I was doing the zombie film Haven Hill. You remember Alex Taylor, one of the actors?
Yes, I do.
He is actually out in Los Angeles right now, and he has a career working in sound design and composing for movies out there. And his first big gig is he actually he's composing for this 80s inspired Lionsgate horror film that's coming out next year. So he saw this kind of like fundraiser video I threw together, and he's like, dude, I need to be involved on this. So I've got great people working on the production. I've got professional like cinema grade cameras and lighting equipment and dollies and such being utilized. I have a very talented composer working on this music as well. And I even have like a festival run set up for this as well. So,
wow. Geez. Sounds like you got just about everything you need almost, man.
Almost. The only thing I need now is the fundraising, which is the stage we're in right now. So,
oh, okay. So, tell us, where do you go to, you know, to fundraise? Where do we need to go?
Well, we launched our campaign on Indiegogo, which if you go to the Indiegogo.com website and go to the search bar and just type in Reaching Out, it's the title of the short film. Reaching Out is the first option that you'll see there. Okay. Or you can also check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/reachingout.shortfilm, all one thing.
Okay.
So it's you can check out everything there. And if you, at the very least, watch the fundraising video I set up on Indiegogo, because it's I wanted to do something that was like kind of interesting as opposed to like, you know, like the PBS fundraiser where it's just me sitting in front of the camera going, I have a story, please donate my money or check this out. I mean, I wanted to do something that would just kind of set the tone. And with this being the Halloween season in October, it's 2 minutes. It's fun. Enjoy.
Right. Okay.
So
you'll have to send me the link to it. Maybe we can put it on the on our Facebook page ourselves, just kind of do a link up for you.
Yeah, I'll link the Facebook page for the short, and I'll link the Indiegogo website for you guys.
All right, sweet. You know, so it's a psychological horror thriller, suspense thriller, right? Just what you were saying. So are we just kind of dealing with this guy's mindset, or we're not sure what's going on? Is he seeing this? Is he not seeing it? Is that kind of the deal with it, or is it
kind of? Yeah, I mean that's essentially the long and short of it. It's again, I hate to say it because it's a short film. It's actually really short. I mean, originally it went from I whittled the short down from being like 20 pages to like 15.
Oh wow!
And now it's in like the 6-page range, so it's a really short. So I'm afraid of like how much I can divulge, but it's essentially about like this journey this guy goes on through the hospital, and it's
Pretty
wild ride.
Yeah, it sounds interesting. Sounds very interesting, actually. So how much are you hoping to raise to start shooting with?
The goal budget is $6,500. It's mostly because of the location and the equipment, the insurance, and the I'm actually feeding my cast and crew, so it's mostly for the catering for everybody. So,
gotcha. Well, still, that's go ahead, Megan.
I was just saying, are you shooting locally?
Yeah, we're shooting in Cincinnati. The we found a hospital that pretty much we have free reign of.
Cool.
How did you manage that?
luck.
How did you manage that one?
I found a hospital that I sent an email out, and every other one was just like, well, every other one I didn't even like get like a callback from. Like they basically, like, oh, who are you? No, you're not gonna shoot in our hospital. But this one was like, I got an email back. They called me back. I mean, I had like negotiations with them for a long time, and they have just been amazing to work with. Like I actually was able to, I got in. I was able to get, you know, I've done my scouts, my tech walkthroughs. I mean, my production designer, director of photography, and gaffer all went through. Like, they came up with like their lighting schemes, their camera angles. I mean, we even actually shot part of it in the fundraiser video. Actually, no, wait, we shot the whole thing for the fundraiser video in that hospital. So.
Oh, wow, cool.
So what? I'm sorry. Working in a hospital and obviously with HIPAA and everything, is this an actual running hospital?
Half and half.
Okay, that's
like,
cool.
There's half of it that's running and other half that is completely empty that just says, you know, here's our rate, you pay this rate, and we can let you just run through.
Okay, that's
so
what
it's like
I...
like a closed-off wing kind of deal.
That's
what I was figuring as much.
So we've got like
I saw some of the pictures and stuff that you had taken from your production and stuff, and I was like, oh, I wonder where he's shooting at.
I can actually tell you after the show's over. I'm not sure if I like want to divulge where I'm shooting. Just
oh, no. I understand.
But, yeah, I'll let you know after the show.
That's cool.
But right. The funny thing that's actually kind of cool is like every staff member that I've, you know, talked to there has sworn up and down that they've had like stuff that's walked through there at night, or, you know, stuff that they've experienced. I've heard like all of their stories. It's been really cool to hear all that. I mean, there's actually like a strange wing up there that I swear is like right out of, you know, American Horror Story Asylum.
Ooh.
Awesome. Oh my God. That's fantastic. Well, see, that's part of, you know, right up my alley type stuff.
Check out the video. You'll see some of the locations.
I've seen the video. It looked pretty cool.
I have as well, actually, to divulge, and it looks awesome. And get out there and help him raise his money, because this is definitely one movie that needs to be made, even if it's just a short film, just for the hospital alone. It's creepy. So
anything creepy is awesome.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a pretty good show. I think there's only one last thing to do. It's time for final thoughts. All right. Well, since you're our guest and everything, I'll just say, and because you're married to Brian B, ladies first.
Ladies first because I'm married to Brian B. How does that work?
I'm poking fun and I'm calling Brian B a lady. So that anyway.
Yep. Oh, Brian.
Thanks. Okay, you know, you got it coming to you, okay?
He can't even say that he's stunned.
He's stunned. Go ahead, Meg.
Okay.
Just, or Susie Q, sorry.
It don't matter. They all know who I am.
I don't think we have any nicknames on the show anymore.
Not really.
It's been Meg the whole show, so. Well, final thoughts, I guess. If you've not been to Whorehound and you like horror, you should go. And when you're telling people about Whorehound, you might want to preface that it's H-O-R-R, not W-H-O-R.
I thought you went to that and convention.
That's my kind of Whorehound right there.
I've had numerous people give me a look like, where are you going?
We're that kind of couple. Wink, wink, nudge,
nudge.
To interject on Meg's comment, it actually is moderately priced. I mean, kids can get in for under 12 years old. They get in for free. And tickets are usually, I think, anywhere.
It's like $40 for a weekend pass. And you can go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. All day. And they have, if you've been to any conventions, they have fun stuff on Friday nights. They have like dance parties and adult entertainment, and I don't mean that as in adult entertainment.
Well, you just said dancing and adult entertainment. What kind of
adult entertainment and whorehound again?
And whorehound. Stuff that's not kid friendly, I should say. There's drinking and dancing and
PJ parties.
PJ parties. They have PJ parties.
Yep.
It's a kid friendly horror convention.
So let's see. Let's recap. We have dancing, adult entertainment, and pajama parties.
For the kids.
The assless footy pajamas party.
Assless footy pajamas.
So the next one's going to be sponsored by Jared, right?
Yes. No. Oh. No.
Dude, that is wrong.
Where the Bigfoot can. That's
right. Don't put his name on my whorehound.
That's awful. Yeah. I'm sure he'd like to put his mouth anywhere.
But that's a terrifying prospect, though, actually.
Okay, I'll...
Like you're 6 inches somewhere.
Okay, enough. All joking aside, if you've not been to Whorehound Convention, it's in Cincinnati at Sharonville Convention Center every March. And at the Sharonville Convention Center in March. And in October, it's at the Marriott East in Indianapolis. September, I'm sorry. And they go back and forth. So they have different
People at each month.
And this coming March in 2016, it's going to be a X-Files theme with extra stuff.
Yeah.
So if you're into the X-Files, you should definitely go. And I cannot preach enough about how awesome it is if you like horror at all.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, I'm done.
Excellent. We'll take it to Maggie's darker half, dark side, Brian B.
Well, just to kind of follow up on what Meg said about Horror Hound, it is a good experience, especially if you like the horror genre. But I will also say that... it'll be another letdown if Hayden Christensen comes back as a clone of Darth Vader. It will just be an extreme letdown, and it will end any and all association I have with the Star Wars franchise.
I didn't know we were final thoughting on everything.
Final thought about anything you want. You just chose to final thought about Horror Hound because that's what you wanted to talk about. But I will just say my final thought about Star Wars is that As we get closer and closer to the release date, the more I read, the more I see, the less enthusiastic I become about it. Because I already know one of the main characters dies. I won't divulge as to who that is.
Stop talking.
Stop. I'm doing my final thought.
Do I really have to spoiler alert a final thought? Man.
No, because I'm not going to say who it is, although I do know.
Shut up.
But I'm just going to say that if Hayden Christensen comes back as a clone of Darth Vader or Anakin Skywalker, I will walk out of the film and request a refund. I'm so done with the Disney vacation of Star Wars. Just think about it. I don't think that people realize how much Disney has control of media-wise now that they have Lucasfilm. Just think about that after you've listened to this podcast. Do your research. The Disney vacation of Star Wars is upon us, and it's not going to be a pleasant sight.
One last thing. Fund John Z's movie, because it's going to be awesome. And I'm going to go watch Flight of the Living Dead because I'm intrigued. No, the flight one.
Oh, the flight.
The 462? Flight 462 or whatever. Yeah,
if they don't run into a navigator, I'll be pissed off.
Oh, boy. All right. Eckenbauer, your final thoughts, sir.
Oh, let's see. My final thoughts is I'm looking forward to the clone of Vader. regular Coke is my favorite drink.
Regular Coke.
Any more spinoffs of The Walking Dead, I'm not sure I'm going to like them because this past one was awful. However, on a more positive note, our spinoff podcasts are going to start coming out fast and furious here. We already started with Gotham Watch. We'll have episode 2 coming out here shortly.
We might even combine that. I haven't talked to you about that yet, but
we'll still have episode 2 coming out shortly.
Yes, yes.
Attack of the Podcast.
Yeah, and then we might have.
That's a great podcast name.
We might have a Green Arrow podcast come out. We might have one of those come out.
Yep.
But TV right now is all a buzz. All the season premieres are starting, so it's a good time for superhero shows.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Lots to come. Lots to come. So, my final thought. I'm sorry, Ank, were you done?
I'm done.
Okay, good. My final thought. Yeah, Darth Vader as a clone, I'm very iffy about. Hopefully not. I'm hoping it's just a Force ghost. I'm hoping maybe what would be even cooler if it's a flashback, or if this maybe is related to a something we talked about maybe in the past shows about an Obi-Wan spinoff standalone movie, an Obi-Wan Kenobi where there's a flashback scene. Maybe that's what this rumor is about. Or hopefully it's just a rumor and it dies and there's no real relevance to it whatsoever. Again, I wouldn't mind seeing him as a Force ghost. Wouldn't mind seeing him in a flashback, but please, please, no clone Vader. Please, please. Unless it's just something phenomenal, earth-shattering.
It's another Star Wars movie.
Unless it's something, some plot line I can't even begin to fathom, then it'll make my head explode.
That would have to be made by David Lynch.
Vader and Boba Fett make out. In the back of the cantina.
And they crawl out of a small box and end up in a closet somewhere, somebody's house.
With a
When Vader realized Boba Fett was saying, as you wish, what he really meant was, I love you.
All right. Next thing you know, you're going to turn dildos into lightsabers, so we're going to stop right there.
I think that's already been done.
Actually, it has. That's the reason why I brought it up.
So you don't need me to do it.
Got the three-pronged one.
That's right, yeah, you just bought
it. Oh, wow. Wow. What am I, a bowling ball? Fuck off.
Definitely an M.
It definitely fits in the explicit category tonight. See what happens when Meg comes on the show? We get dirty.
Meg, come back. Dirty Z wants you to keep commenting.
All right, John. I don't know where we're going from here with final thoughts, but John, go ahead.
I don't know if you want my final thoughts. But final thoughts on all of our topics. Conventions are awesome. I've been to a few myself. They are a lot of fun, and I'm actually really sad I missed out on this Horror Hound. I was about to make plans. They fell through, and I do hope to go to one in the future. As far as Walking Dead goes, believe it or not, I've been a zombie fan since very early on in my life, and I actually have not even seen the last season of The Walking Dead because I just kind of got out of it. So I haven't even seen Fear of the Walking Dead, and it's actually been hard to get into zombie stuff lately. So I hope it does well. I hope the awesome kind of counterculture message of the zombies comes back, and that'd be nice, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Hayden Christensen is a fine actor. He needs to stop being shamed, and I hope that he does. I hope that his inclusion in episode 8 is actually handled with care. And as far as my project, if Bershi was contributing final thoughts to all of them, Bershi, your final thoughts on my short?
Okay, well, if you, I hope everything goes well for you. I mean, it'd be nice to see something come out of this, and hopefully, it'll be a good thing.
Okay. Cool. And if anyone, I'll post links to my Indiegogo page and my the Facebook page for the short film. Check out the video; it's a lot of fun. And the cutoff date for a contribution is, I believe, October 23rd or 25th. Okay. Or I think it's the 23rd, but if you'll. The need to contribute anything, that would be greatly appreciated. Or if you know anybody that would be interested in contributing,
please by all means forward it to them as well.
All right. All right. Sounds good, sir. Sounds good. So where can you find us? If this is the first time you listen to the show, Four Midwest Guys, you can find us at facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can reach us at Twitter @4MidwestGuys. And we also have email. You can reach us email at the4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. We've yet to hear back from anybody. We really would like to hear some real positive feedback, negative feedback, whatever kind of feedback. We're trying to grade ourselves. We're trying to do more different things. We're trying to evolve the show, the main show as well. But we can only grade ourselves so far, and we definitely need to hear from you guys. I know, I'm sure not just myself, I'm sure everybody else agrees with me here that we need to hear back. So everything helps because, you know, even Megan, Susie Q, a.k.a. Meg, suggested Google Docs and how we use Google Docs for our shows, which makes it much better. So thank you, Maggie, for your comment. So,
absolutely.
All right. So for Maggie, thanks for coming on. And it was wonderful having you here and spicing it up here for us. And for Birchie and for Ankenbauer, John Z, and myself, you guys have a good night. We'll catch you next time.